named it. I sought the Lord in a number of ways for a number of months concerning this area of ministry, and we have not been taken off of it since. So we just trust that we'll go to another place tonight. As a matter of fact, we're going to some place tonight that we've never been in this teaching. So it must be that you're the ones who were reserved for. Amen? Let's stand up and lift our hands to the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. You foreordained our time together. You saw through the annals of yesteryear that we'd be here with our hands lifted up, glorifying you. Thank you for the wonderful gift of the great Spirit of God. The teacher lives on the inside of every believer. Thank you for the gift of redemption and salvation, restoring man back to his rightful place with you. Thank you for healing our bodies, Lord God. Thank you in advance that we'll walk in prosperity in all that you call us to do. We'll have the wherewithal to get it done. I thank you for the grace of God that's on our lives. And we shall never be the same after tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah and amen. Praise God. Have your seats if you will. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Now, I indicated this morning, and I didn't elaborate on it, nor did I tell you to turn to it, seeing there was an urgency to get done what we have done and to reserve our spot for tonight concerning the hour that we have, or two. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at verse number 12 here. Now, remember I said this morning to some of you that's going to be a planting, for others it's going to be a watering, meaning if it's a watering, that means you've heard it before. We shared some of this along these lines with you before, which we had. But then there's also that planting for those that were here who had never heard anything like that, or particularly the scriptures that we covered. And so shall it be tonight. It'll be a kind of combination of that as well. But look at verse number 12, 1 Peter 1 and 12. I'm in the wrong place. There we go. Wait a minute here. Make sure I'm in the right place. Make sure it's not 2 Peter. Then I'll make sure it's not 3 Peter. Amen? If it's 3 Peter, bring me your Bible. I'll burn it on the spot. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, I said first, chapter number 1, and verse number 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Look at those next words. Though you know them. So we know some things. It's incumbent upon us that teach the Word of God, particularly as we travel, as the Lord lays something on our heart to put you in remembrance. Oh, remembrance what? Your pastor's taught these things before, off and on. Not in the very same way, maybe, but he's touched these things before. And so our job is to put you in remembrance of these things. He's, well, I know that. Well, that's why I want to make you remember it. Can you say amen? He goes on to say here, and be established in the present truth. Everybody say present truth. Well, that's important because even though you know some things, we need to have those things reinforced in our lives. You know, I go to this Bible, you know, like I said, at least once a year. Now, once a year and a half, it takes me so much longer to get through it, so much revelation is flowing. I don't go through it as fast as I used to. But now, when I see this, you know, maybe for the 50th time, I don't go, well, I know that. There may be another layer there, hallelujah, that God is peeling back, that you have one of those aha experiences. We'll have some of that tonight, I guarantee that, amen? Now, I've already put the amen corner on alert back there. I got three amens out of the whole group this morning, amen? That will not do. So I don't get more than three, I'm coming back there. Don't make me come back there. Hallelujah. All right, go across the page, if you will, to, I think it's chapter number 2. It'll suffice us to just leave that alone, but there's something else I wanted to see here, and I just can't figure out where it is. If it comes to me, I'll find it. If not, we'll just leave it at that, because we want to put you in remembrance of the things you already know. Having said that, We talked this morning about prayer never being initiated by man. In other words, when you go to pray, you think you made a decision. What do I think about prayer about this? Or if, let's go there. If someone asks you to pray. Now, if we had a prayer request, someone would walk up and say, I'd like to have a prayer for so-and-so, my cousin, you know, in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, if it's within the will of God and the word of God, you don't need a leading. Now, unless, have you ever had somebody ask you to pray for something and you go kind of dissonant in your spirit? You just don't really feel you need to pray that way or for that thing? Well, guess what? You better obey that. I said you better obey that. You might want to inquire, what are we praying about? Well, then get some inquiry. Find out what's going on before you say, well, because they want you to pray the prayer of agreement. And you can't agree with something you don't have full knowledge about. Amen. Sometimes you know exactly that you're not supposed to pray for it. Have you been there? I don't think I can pray about that. I'll just tell them right in front, no, I won't do that. Sounds kind of harsh, but it's better to obey God than to yield to your request. Can you say amen to that? So then all that being said, so prayer is never initiated by man. It's always about the leading of the Spirit of God and the spirit of man. When you yield to that, you've submitted to the will of God. Go with me, if you will, to Proverbs 15. I'll just stay here, Lord, just for a minute. Proverbs 15. And here's the question you need to ask yourself, and you shouldn't. If you're righteous, it should make no difference at all concerning you whether God heard you or not. 15, chapter of Proverbs, verse number 29. 15 and 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth. Remember that heareth over there in 1 John 5 and 14? He heareth us. He says here, he heareth. He heareth what? The prayer of the righteous. So I don't have to wonder about, well, I don't know if the Lord heard me or not. Are you righteous? And then you pray within his will, according to 1 John 5 and 14. Well, then, if that's the case, 1 Peter 1 and 12. We don't even turn to that one. We said it this morning. We'll say it again, but we've got to move on tonight. It says, the eyes of the Lord are always over the righteous, I think it says, and his ears are always open to their prayers. His ears are open to their prayers. If you're righteous, you're praying the will of God, you needn't wonder whether he heard you or not. If you know the will of God and you pray the will of God, because your status is righteousness, you have been declared righteous. And you won't be, I may as well stay here, Lord. And you will not, because you missed the mark somewhere, be declared unrighteous. The righteous are the righteous. Even the righteous that err are still the righteous. So what do? We recover ourselves. I said we recover ourselves. But I want to introduce something here, and we touched upon it a little bit this morning. I want to call it the conscience factor. Everybody say the conscience factor. Now let's go to Romans 9 and 1 again like we did this morning. We didn't go any further than that. Romans 9 and 1. And it seems there's a subtleness over this meeting, and I like that. I welcome that. I thank God that we have an opportunity in this forum to teach the Word of God, and to have the receptivity at a high level. Amen? That's only because, not only because you're the righteous, but your hearts are bent toward God. Amen. That's the reason for it. Can you say amen here? Amen. Now, he says here in the first verse, I say the truth in Christ Jesus, I lie not. How does he know he's not lying? My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So conscience kicks in automatically. We said that this morning. You cannot lie to conscience. He knows he's not lying. He knows that because his spirit is agreeing via his conscience. And the voice of the human spirit is conscience. You don't have to worry about conscience. You don't turn it on or turn it off. It's always there. And the minute you err and you love the Lord and you miss the mark, guess who knows it first? Not the devil. I get away from me, Satan. Look in the mirror, you'll find the culprit. Amen? standing right there looking at you. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden you get through your hands and go, oh, glory to God. I tell you, I missed it again. I may as well just, no. Don't let guilt set in. I said, don't let guilt set in. Because you got something that's called repentance available to you 24/7. And all it means is to, it doesn't mean to be sorry. If you're sorry because someone found something out that you did not know that they knew and brought it to your attention, then you could be sorrowful about it, but never repent. Repentance is an about face. Bam, going that way. I'm not going that way again in life. That's repentance. And God knows whether you're fully repentant or not. Remember what the Lord said? Jesus said this, the prince of this world cometh and he findeth nothing in me. You ought to have the same posture. You ought to feel the same way. I said, you ought to be in that same posture. You ought to say, the prince of this world comes, but he finds nothing in me. Well, if he came 3 minutes ago, he might have. But I'm telling you about that autocorrect. Have you ever been in a GPS and you know exactly where you're going? And you decided, that's just too far to go that way. I'll take a shortcut, and you know better than the GPS does. And the minute you hear, doom, 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 used to say what? Used to say something. Now it just makes an auto-correction. And they give you another route. It's auto-correct. Well, you got something better than a GPS auto-correct. It's called the Spirit of Man, full of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Truth. Amen. Auto-correct.
Yes.
Immediately. Oops. Redirect. Hey. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Your mind's made up. I'm going that way. Why? Because on the inside of you is straightforwardness.
Yes.
God doesn't go around the curves. I went on the levee today, and I was born and raised in this area, so I went on the levee today. And, you know, many times when Pastor Jesse, we out in the morning and duck hunting, and I said, well, New Orleans, I'm pointing this way. He said, New Orleans is not that way. He says, New Orleans is over here. I said, but I came down 23. He said, 23 is not that way. I'm totally disorientated.
Yeah.
But you folk can look up in the middle of the night, not even know stars, and tell you what's north, south, east, and west.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
We bring some of these northerners down here. And they get dizzy the first day. We where? That autocorrect never leaves you blind. You always have correct direction. Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
And it's not for us to work it out. The more you fall in love with Jesus, and the more you study his word, the more that system just kind of gravitates on the inside of you and you find yourself going the right way every time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So then we know that conscience is a factor. Go to Acts 24, if you will, verse number 16, Acts 24 and 16. I love this part and I've never gotten to it before, but thank God we hinted at it before, but now we're in it. Amen. And so I'm not going to finish. I'm not going to quit until I finish. But I've never finished a sermon yet, so just don't expect me to, all right? Here in the 16th verse of Acts 24, he says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always, everybody say always, always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. God, you got to make up your mind, I will not be offended by what anybody says or does. And we know this offense is received. You can never be offended if you don't receive it. I was offended. Why? Because you accepted the offense. You can bypass it, sidestep it. You might hurt a little bit on the inside emotionally, but you don't have to buy into it. And because you made a conscious decision to have your mind void of offense toward God and toward men. And when you make that decision, guess what? Help comes from heaven. The Paraclete himself called alongside to help you do is assisting you to not have an emotional breakdown. Or a concave, I'll tell you what, this is a feeling sore. Pity party. Pity parties are the result of receiving offense. Somebody didn't like you. Well, whoop-de-doo. Somebody didn't like what you said, how you walk, how you talk, how you dressed. Well, that's their problem, not yours. Can you say amen? Amen? And when you make up your mind, no matter what they say about your attire or what you said, as long as you know you're right, just let it be. And choose not to be offended. Now go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We'll get back on this thing here in a minute here, I believe. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2. And we'll look at this one. We're talking about the conscience factor. Look at verse number 14 first. We'll read from here. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves. 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Conscience will accuse or excuse. And you are the only one that can tell which is happening. The accusation is not coming from the outside. It's not even coming from the devil. It's coming from the inside of you because your conscience has been violated. I'll give you an example. We had some people in our lives not too long ago, let's say 15, 20 years ago, we were introduced to. They had been a part of a very legalistic religious foundation. Wonderful people, still are. Actually, don't know whether they were saved or not. They thought they were. We found out later that you can think you're saved because if you follow what we call church doctrine or liturgy and not the Bible, you can be as lost as a goose in a hailstorm and think you're saved. Amen? But so these people, thank God. I mean, they were wonderful folk. But the more my wife inquired, the more she found out, well, wait a minute here. When did you get saved? Well, I've always been saved. I was baptized at 12. No, I didn't ask you that. When did you get saved? They couldn't answer that. How did you get saved? Couldn't answer that. So we made a deduction. If you don't know when, you don't know how, you ain't. You can approximate salvation and not get over there. Can you say amen? And so finally, the truth came. And she went over to work with some of them, and the next thing you know, the family got them. Whoa, look at Sister Walton. I mean, I didn't know that, been in church all their lives. And then finally, one day, I mean, there was such legalism. Don't you dare misunderstand me. I don't want to wound anybody's conscience, but I'm just going to tell the truth. They had an attire that they had to wear and an attire that they could not wear. And you better not wear it. Because if you wear it, you're going to hell. Wow. Know that right now. I don't even want to see your ankle. Or an elbow. All right, so, and all of a sudden, this one sister of this particular person decided, you know what, there's a freedom in this. And so the sister that freed up first was sharing with her. You know, it's not wrong if you want to put a little rouge on, a little whatever. Well, that's not wrong. If you want to wear an earring, that's not wrong. And so one day they met at the mall. And she broke out. I mean, showed up. Earring. Oh! Watch this, though. Pants. Slacks. You hear me? Slacks. And though she knew the truth, conscience has been trained to browbeat you if you're not operating in that particular vein. Are you listening to me? Even though she knew the truth, she felt like, what? Because conscience was kicking in. You've trained conscience to obey what they said, not what the Word of God said. Can you say amen? It took a long time to get up, but the sister is free now. But you have to walk through it. Why? Because conscience cannot be ignored. I know the truth. I'm walking in that truth. But all of a sudden, the historicity of it all concaved her thinking. until she's to purify her mind with the word of God and then walk free. Can you say amen here? Yeah. So conscience is a factor. So it'll accuse you and it'll excuse you. I've elected to let it accuse me of things that I'm guilty of concerning righteousness. What do you mean by that? An accusation is an accusation. My Lord, man, you go to church that regular, what's the matter with you? I'm being accused by somebody else, but my conscience is saying, yep, that's right. Yep, you got it. Yep, going tomorrow. Sorry I missed last week. Forgive me, Lord. Going again. Why? Because I've made a decision that I'm going to let conscience only allow me to walk in the truth without not beating me down.
Yes.
Can you say amen? If it's going to excuse me, let's sit over here. If it's going to excuse me of an aberrant theology or bad behavior, that's not good. I said, that's not good. If I let my conscience go, well, that's okay. Well, you know, everybody does that.
Wow.
And they're still Christians. And I can say, okay, well, I'm going to excuse myself because that's the behavior that's prevalent in the body. I don't care what's prevalent in the body of Christ. I want to adhere to the biblical principle that says I'm not to do that.
Yes, yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
So if that's the case, if my conscience is bearing witness, it's testifying. I said it's testifying on my behalf that I'm walking in the truth. Can you say amen here?
Amen.
Now, where does prayer come in there? Remember, we said this morning, and we'll repeat that, that confidence is the, I didn't say it, but I'll say it now, Lord. Confidence in prayer is a result of a non-condemning heart. I'll say it again. The only reason you can be confident in prayer is your heart doesn't condemn you. And if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. If our heart condemns us, guess what? You're not going to pray through. You're going to stop right there. You could fix it immediately, or you could say, ah, man, I'm just going to let that one ride. And you go out the very same way you came in. I elect not to do that. I said, I elect not. When something is brought to my attention by conscience, I may as well deal with it right now. Right now is better than later. Can you say amen here?
Amen.
And if I deal with it right now, guess what? I'm still in the house of the Lord. I can still lift my hands up, glory to God, because I just cleaned that thing out. Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
Well, brother, what's the 7 steps of repentance? Excuse me? The what? Get a book written, the ABCs of repentance. ABCs of repentance? Let me help you here. Forgive me, Lord. Boom, gone.
That's it.
I'm out of there. If I'm serious and I'm not sorrowful only.
Yeah.
If I made a decision, Lord, I just offended you. I remember Joseph in Potiphar's house? Remember what he said? And a woman tried to get him to go to bed with her. He said, how can I have this sin against my God and then my master? It's vertical first, then it's horizontal.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? I'm void of offense towards God and toward men. That's my job. There's not a human being on the face of the earth I have one issue with. Now, I could work up an issue or two. Get it? I can go to the memory bank and go, what? I tell you one thing, jutted veins, glory to God, gnashing of teeth, and get mad all over again. 45 years ago. I can work it up. Can you say amen? Or I could just let it lay where it has been laid all those years, forgiven. Somebody shout amen here. Prayer is essential for you operating in the things of God daily, meaning this. You don't have to be in a prayer mode or prayer time for something to happen that's produced or that prayer produced, in other words. You can say this. If I'm going to pray for you and you ask me to pray for you and you say, I'm sick. I don't have to have a leading to do that. My conscience is clear. It's the will of God. And therefore, I can just walk into that thing. But if I've got an issue with you from yesterday and I let that surface, I just block your receipt from me.
Wow. Yeah.
Because God's not going to honor me having some falsity, some veneer of spirituality when I lay hands on you. Can you say amen here? I better be right in his sight. My heart better be right. I better be prayed up. Somebody shout glory here. Well, then, that's the conscience factor. Now, we said this morning, Lord, for whom should we pray and how should we pray and when should we pray? Again, we can recap that just in a little bit. I want to focus on this one. If we're praying the prayer of petition, we know it's to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. We know that. Well, our motive has to be pure. We cannot in any way, form, or fashion have some ill motive in prayer, like selfishness. In other words, we're praying for them for us. We're praying for them so that we can get what we need, even though we're praying for them. You better isolate your motives. Let them be pure in the sight of God and the person that asks you to pray with them, if you've agreed to that. When should we pray? We should pray always. Luke 18 and 1 said. Now, all that being said, I want to go to James, if you will, the book of James, because the Bible tells us something in the book of James that I'm going to deviate for the first time in this teaching concerning prayer as prayer petition, because this is so vital, so important. James tells us something here. I think it's the 5th chapter. If not, you're going to help me. Let me find it. You scholars out there, are you quick-witted ones with your devices? Look at James chapter 5, verse number 13. Is any sick or is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Here we go. Let him, everybody say him or her, call for the elders of the church and let them, the elders of the church, let them pray over them or him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Next thing, and the prayer of faith. Everybody say the prayer of faith.
Prayer.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Something that escapes us in this particular teaching, this particular verse. He said, elders of the church, when we think about the prayer of faith, either on our part, on the part of somebody else that's praying, we never think about the concert of prayer. It's in concert. It's not a person. It's a number of people. The prayer of faith is what we're going to look at just for a little bit tonight because we just get so far on it. Everybody say prayer of faith.
Prayer of faith.
Now, what's the prayer of faith? What is that? It's not a gift of faith. The gift of faith receives. The prayer of faith produces. Now, no matter how spectacular you may have a need, you have some end of the month situation, more month than money. Okay, you got an affliction going on in your body or somebody else's body. There's an urgency here, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the need is met. Let's stay with the end of the month thing. The need is met. And you look at that and you go, man, that was a miracle. It wasn't. I said it wasn't. What was it? It was God making good on his promises. It's nothing miraculous, but it was spectacular. Could have been, but it wasn't miraculous. What makes a miracle? A suspension of the natural. He didn't make any money and send it to you, did he? I mean, it might have been spectacular. All of a sudden, you know, nobody drove up with a Brinks truck and just dropped it at your door, did they? Somehow, some people got in place through the annals of time, the historicity of it, it was always coming to bear. And that day, that week, that month, it showed up. You go, oh, what a miracle. Wasn't a miracle at all. It was just God making good on his promises, saying he would take care of you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Well, now, watch this. But on the other hand, where does the prayer of faith come in? Well, meditation is a powerful word that we really don't get into as we ought. It is literally, remember we said this morning that literally gratitude is the prayer factory or is the praise factory. In other words, you sense gratitude and that's where praise comes from. But as long as it's felt and never spoken, it remains gratitude. It has to be vocalized to become praise. Well, as praise has a factory called gratitude, so does gratitude have a factory called meditation. Meditation is the factory that produces the gratitude. Meditating upon the goodness of God, on his word and his mercy. The word of God in your spirit that you know and cleave, particularly you keep going back to. You know what I mean? It's a favorite scripture. Why? You know it. You read it all. Why read it again? Because you're drawn there. There's a well for you to drink of right there. You understand it. You've looked it up. You saw what the Greek said about it. You saw what other, that's fine. But why do I keep going back there? Because your spirit wants you to sit there and feast.
Yes.
Guess what happens? You start meditating and mulling that word over. You may have seen it on YouTube. There was a lady that was in her store, and a security camera caught it. And a guy comes in the store. All right, mom, give me your money. Give me your money. It was a lady sitting right there that was at the counter, a customer, and she was petrified. And the lady behind the counter says, "In the name of Jesus, get out of my store." Anybody saw that on YouTube? And the guy says, "I'm not playing with you." She says, "Get out of my store in Jesus' name." And she kept saying, "There's the door. Get out of my store." All of a sudden, that man started shaking and ran out with his pistol. You know what happened there? It was the product of the prayer of faith. What do you mean by that? That wasn't the prayer of faith, because praying is communicating with God. She's talking to the enemy. Why did she do that? Because the prayer of faith is spontaneous. Wells up on the inside of your spirit with a spirit of boldness to it. Get out. She didn't blink one. Get out of my store now. That guy started shaking like a leaf on a tree, man. Ran out with his gun. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse number 19. Luke 10 and 19. This is what she probably had been dealing with. Probably may not have been, but I can see this right here. Luke 10 and 19. "Behold, I give you power over scorpions and serpents and all the power of the enemy. And I said nothing. And nothing shall by any means harm you."
Right.
That first word power is exousia or exousia. It's authority. The prayer of faith always operates out of authority. She had authority over that guy. He had power. We're talking about six of them in that revolver. All he had to do was let that trigger go and power would have come out of that nozzle. But she had a greater power than those bullets in that gun. And she exerted that power over that dunamis of the enemy. He's there to rob her. I've seen people, I was a probation officer. I've had cases where people literally, they couldn't unlock the safe being robbed, or they didn't have any money. And out of just pure frustration, the guy shot him. Beat him. Why didn't he do that to her? He got nothing. But he got out of there. Why? Because the authority of the prayer of faith that has been prayed by the woman, I bet she said this, very likely, could have said this, maybe said this, probability factor high that she said this. What?
Yeah.
Look at verse 19 of Luke chapter 10. She's reading it. "Oh, Lord, you said I have power over the power of the enemy." She started rehearsing that. Somebody shout amen here. It's incubating in her. for the occasion to use it.
Amen.
And when it comes up, then think, let me see, what was that verse now? Was that in Luke? Or was that in Jeremiah? It was in Luke. It jumps out of her spirit spontaneously. Yes. Get out of my store. Yes. I've got authority over you. Can you say amen here? Yes. Meaning what then? I rehearse the word of God. I go over the word of God that draws me to it. Ooh, glory to God. Go to Psalms 126. Hallelujah. Psalm, y'all get ready to shout right now. Amen. You can't shout on this one. Your shouter is broken. All right. Psalms 126. And look at what happens over here. And look at what the Bible says happens for you and on your behalf. Psalms 126, 43, 28. 33:26. Let's begin to read here. Verse number one. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Zion is a type of the church, right? We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with what? Laughter. And our tongue with singing. Glory to God. And then said they among the heathen, the sinners, the world is observing your behavior in the kingdom of God, in the vineyard of your Lord.
Yes, yes.
They're looking at you, not to applaud, but to criticize and to run you down.
Yes, they are.
They're looking at you.
Yes, yes.
But they don't get that. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's done great things for you.
Yes.
They're observing that.
Yes.
They don't want to, but
yes.
They've got to see that God's working in your life.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Yeah. The Lord hath done great things for them, for us, you say now, wherein we are sad.
Oh, we're glad.
We are what?
We're glad.
We are what?
We're glad.
You better tell your face you're glad, amen? I said, we're glad. We're not sad. And by so doing, guess what? I'm going to exalt his holy name. I'm going to praise and going to worship. I'm going to declare he's the Lord of my life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
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 Somebody said this. We just left California. And we had a camp meeting in Vegas, but went to California first. I rarely get to see my people out there. I saw my brother, saw my cousins, and my mom. And one of my cousins said, he looked at us and says, why don't y'all change? I said, you want to see last year's picture? We have changed, but they don't see you that way. I said, they don't see you that way. Now listen. Chris Saxon is a neighbor of mine. He comes down hunting with us. And last year, or year before last, he and his friend Dean could take us out to a pond. So we're going out to this pond, right? And so we're going out to the pond. It's the middle of the night, and I hadn't been out there, and there's all kinds of stuff. So I got all, you know, a sack of decoys, and they got this, and they got that, and we're walking through. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and they were ahead of me. I'm thinking, I'm wide open. I said, I'm wide open. I can't go any faster. I got it on go ahead. I'm thinking, huh. And they just kind of. And so, you all right? Oh, I'm all right. I can't tell them, I'm a sucker there. Please slow down. So I'm going, and I'm thinking, what's the matter with them? What's the matter with me? Nothing wrong with me, except a differential of about 30 years. Amen. Oh, you ain't gonna tell me. I'm 75 in November.
Yeah.
I ain't doing too bad for 74, but let me tell you, I can't keep up with that 45-year-old guy.
Yes, amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And don't try.
Amen.
I'm trying to figure out something must be wrong. Nothing wrong at all. You ain't got it no more, Bubba. Can you say amen? But we change. Oh, you'll never change. Oh, we change. And say amen.
Amen.
But the bottom line is, He's been good to me.
Yes.
Look how good God has been to me. Somebody shout glory here. I don't care what dilemma you face. Lift up your hands to an almighty God and thank him for being so good to you. And let the people that observe you say, look how God has been so good to them. Wherein we are glad, not sad. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Don't know about you, but I was captive one time. I was captive to the world. Thank God some of you never went there. Glory to God. Don't even think about it. Amen. I'm telling you on the other side. I'm going to church. I'm doing all I know to do. But I'm word poor. I don't know if I'm a victor or not a victim. And I'm taking the victim's role. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And I'm acting at every stage of life. Emotionally, physically, politically, I'm victimized. I'm just going, yeah, I'll tell you one thing. It wasn't for this, wasn't for that. But then I found out something. I'm called more than a conqueror. Woo! I'm more than an overcomer. So I'm glad. I'm glad I'm not going to let anybody pour rain on my Christian parade. Can you say amen? I'm going to live life big and bold in front of the world. No matter what they think of it, I am going. Why? Because I'm prayed up. I'm praised up. I'm worshiped up. Somebody shout amen here. Well, guess what happens? They take note. All of a sudden, they start doing inventory about their lack of gladness. Why are you so glad? We're in the same boat, so to speak. We're in the same society. Many times we're on the same job. But you're walking around with your head in the air. You're walking around talking about how good God is in the game. I can't say that. That's your opportunity.
Yes.
Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
And when it presents itself, you better be ready.
Yes.
Now, we've digressed somewhat from the word, from the prayer of faith, only in this regard. It's miraculous in a sense. Because many times the prayer of faith and its operation will turn the natural upside down. Are you listening to me? And people are seeing that. How come he got that when I was in line for it? How come they are walking where they are? I remember a particular person. My wife wouldn't remember this. And there was a mega meeting, mega ministry on the TV. And this person was trying to position himself to get into that camp, so to speak, you know, to minister along that line or with that particular person. And they chose, now watch this. We talk about a spirit-filled, Bible-toting, camp meeting, rabble-rousing, pew-flipping, running around people, all right? And that head of the ministry chose a Baptist guy to preach for him. Non-spirit-filled and saying it.
Yeah.
He's going to minister to thousands. Don't you get so high and mighty. You think you got a corner on the market because you got the Holy Ghost in fullness. He will minister to them in the capacity that he can, and he'll still bring the best out of them. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
That man ministered by the power of the Holy Ghost. He was uncouth. He wasn't polished. He split verbs. I mean, he just kind of winged it, you know. And we're sitting in this man's house. And I vowed then I will never, ever go back to this man's house. He says, well, how would he use him? I mean, he was saying, I'm eloquent. I can really speak. He chose him instead of me. And I think, thank God he did. You stink up the place. Amen? Because your stinking pride is what kept you out of that arena. Can you say amen? He thought he was so much better than that guy. But that man had a tremendous ministry, and he literally fed thousands of people. He had nothing to do with trying to be high-minded. He just was serving God. And the way he could serve. Are you listening to me tonight?
Yes, yes.
So it's important that we don't try to compare ourselves with others, because Paul said that is not wise. In that regard, the prayer of faith in and of itself will undo everything that's opposing your advance in the kingdom of God. The prayer of faith is not the result of praying. It's not learned behavior. But it's been incubating, sitting there, waiting for an opportunity to be used of God because you meditated on the word of God and the mercy of God for so many months, sometimes weeks, hours, who knows how long. And all of a sudden, there's an opportunity for that prayer of faith to kick in. You don't order it. You can't determine it. It just happens. But it didn't happen because you're so lovely, because you're so pretty. It happened because you sat in front of the word of God and let it keep pulling your nose down in a particular area, and you locked it away in your heart that you might not sin against God. Yeah. Somebody shout amen here. Amen. And when that happens, God is glorified. When that happens, there's a suspension of the natural many a time in the prayer of faith. When his operatives are, you can't even calculate what can happen. Oh, Lord. My wife is probably the best driver that I know. I'm not gender specific. She's just a great driver. I'm a great driver, but I'm just kind of loose. I know, I'll be driving, looking at my, what are you looking at? You know, I'll be driving, all of a sudden I'll just reach down, put your hands back on the wheel. I mean, she taught driving in L.A. She's a great driver. When she gets behind the wheel, we've driven 2 million miles in America. When she gets behind the wheel, guess what? I go to sleep. I've had men go, you sleep when your wife's driving? I said, don't you? Oh, no. Oh, no. Why not? If she comes to you and says, listen, taste this, Josh. You don't even know what this is. Okay. What's for dinner? Oh, no, just sit down. Just start eating. Just don't go. You trust her with your life, she could poison you. If she chose to. But you never question that, do you? It's like, oh, my. I remember when she's driving. You think she wants to hurt her? So when I lay back in confidence. My wife is a great driver. 2 weeks ago, we're coming through Texas. We get into Oklahoma. And I'm thinking, man, I'm just going to kick it for a little bit here. But for some reason, I didn't go to sleep. I'm looking over to the right. And I look over, and there ain't no highway in front of us. I look, and we're gone. Shh. I said, Evelyn, whoa. Bowed into the... I didn't see a tree, but there must have been some that the Spirit of God just kind of took us around those trees. No culvert, nothing. Back up on the highway like she's in my head. Back up on the highway. I'm thinking, what just happened here? She never, when she said, I'm tired, you're time to drive. Never, not one time in 35 years has she ever said, I'm going to try and make it. She would just say, listen, I'm tired, it's time for you to drive. But that time, she just kind of went out. Instant. Bam, gone. Those rubber, none of that. Right over everything. I didn't even feel a bump. All of a sudden, we're in tall grass. And I mean, that thing is rolling about. She says, I couldn't take my foot off the accelerator. We were mowing. You understand what I'm saying? We come up out of that thing. I'm sitting back on the highway. She pulls over. I get out. She says, check the damage. So I get out. This is 2 weeks ago. I get out. I go into the front. We got a lot of grass. We got a grass grill. You can't even see the chrome. Amen. But guess what I did? I went, I'm going to God. Not a dent in the car. Not a dent in the car. Not any fiberglass is loose. No headlight is out. Josh, I'm telling you, it was time to shout. Thank you, Lord. Suspended. Somehow averted every cupboard, missed every tree, no rock in the place, and came right back on the highway at 65. How is that? She said 75. You prayed up. You praised up. You're loving God. She said, somebody shout amen. She said, what happened? I said, we do not want to rehearse that. Your life is in his hands. Any opportunity for him to snatch you out of the world, Satan is after you. But you got a protector and a shield and a buckler. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if you meditate on that word of God, all of a sudden there's an opportunity to use that. He will avenge anything that's trying to take you out. Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
Prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. The prayer of faith is not something you decide to do. The promises of God, you literally pray out. The benefits of God, you invoke.
That's good.
Get me here now. You never pray the benefits. So to Psalms 103 real quick. God, God. Psalms 103. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Psalms 103, we'll end right here, I think. Everybody say the last scripture. Say maybe. Psalms 103, verse number 1. Again, these are imperatives or commands. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not some of his benefits. Uh-oh, here we go. Don't forget nary one of his benefits. Amen. I've got to know what they are to not forget them. I got to remember them, but I got to put them in my memory bank to recall them. Everybody say benefits. Say benefits are not promises. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? So I don't have to, not listen to me, stay with me here. We can actually agree with somebody in prayer concerning their physical body. Don't you get me wrong. But I can choose as a receiver of the, or the benefactor of the benefits, to invoke them and not ask for them. Why? By his stripes, I don't want to undermine Isaiah 53. I don't want to undermine 1 Peter 2, 22, 24. I don't want to go and try to get something on top of that. I've already got that. So when I've got that, I invoke that benefit. And when I do that, guess what? I am convinced that he is not a man that he should lie.
Hallelujah.
If he's not lying, glory to God, and I'm trusting him, I called me healed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm not. He's not, I was the God that healeth you. I am the God that healeth you.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen here?
Amen.
I am that I am, that I am. So I am now invoking the benefit that cannot be secured by negotiations.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You cannot all of a sudden, oh, let me see, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. No, he's already done what he's going to do concerning your physical body.
Hallelujah.
Stand on the promises of God, but healing is not a promise. Healing is a benefit.
Yeah.
I don't want to undermine the word of God. It's already said, I can now receive the benefits of God.
Amen.
We said this years ago. You are as forgiven as you are healed. You are as healed as you are forgiven.
Yeah.
The very same scripture doesn't separate one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrews had trouble believing that they were forgiven, had no trouble believing that they were healed.
Mm-hmm.
New Testament believers have trouble believing that they're healed, even though they know they're forgiven.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I want the whole package. I'm forgiven and I know it. I am not a sinner and I know it. I am not an old sinner saved by grace and I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I now invoke the fact that he said, since I'm forgiven, I can now have the benefit of healing.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to stand on his word because he's not a man that he should lie. Guess what happens? The more you're convinced of something, the more you're apt to act in it. How do you act in it? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Hallelujah. Last scripture I said, didn't I? Well, you knew better, didn't you? Hebrews chapter 4, we'll do this and we're in right here. Right here is a relative term as well. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, we're kind of just going to, we're winding down. But look at verse number 1. Let us therefore fear or be in awe or be reverential, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We're landing at verse number 2. For unto us, everybody say us. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. There's a them and there's an us, two groups. Now, the same gospel has different effects on the same on these two groups. Look at what he says next. But the word preached did not profit them. We must deduce that if it did not profit them, it must have profited us, whoever us is. Did not profit them. Why didn't it? Not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. Wait a minute here. Why do we mix it with faith? I'm glad you asked that. Your tongue is the mixer. You read the scriptures, but your soul has to hear you saying the word of God to convince it to not worry. Your soul is not spiritual. Your soul, I heard this the other day and made all the sense in the world. I was in the eighth grade, I think it's seventh or eighth grade, and Mr. Miller, eighth grade, and Mr. Miller, our English teacher, always thought that I had a deep radio voice at 8 years old. So he said, now, I'm going to record all you people in the room. And he did, record everybody. He said, now, listen to yourselves. So when I heard me, I kept waiting for him to find me. Didn't sound nothing like me. Have you been there? The first time you heard your voice recorded, didn't sound anything like you. That you thought it was exactly you. You sound exactly, but your soul had not heard that before. It never came out. You never heard you. You heard you from the inside. Yeah. Can you say amen here? Yeah. And you sound different from the inside to the outside. So that's why it's important for you to speak out of your mouth the promises of God. Amen. That your soul can hear it and not fight you. Are you getting what I'm talking about, Brother Freddie? You say the word of God. You say the promise of God. You tell your soul you will bless the Lord. You talk to yourself. Oh, don't do that, brother. You're a liar. Liar, liar, your pants on fire. You talk to yourself all the time. I said this the other day. I said, what am I doing? My phone is never away from me. I always have my phone. Why I put a password in that, I don't know. I got a password in my phone. And guess what? We have arguments daily. I put it in the wrong password. I said, that is the right password. I know it is. Who are you talking to? To the phone? You're talking to you. What do you mean that's not the right password? Of course, what do you sound like? You talk to your soul all the time. Why not tell it to be submissive to the spirit of man? Because that's what God designed you as a triune being, spirit, soul, and body, with your spirit on the hierarchy or the throne of your life. Yes. But sin has undermined that authority to the degree that the soul is on the throne of people's lives and the spirit is submissive to the soul. So that's why you have got to say the word of God to convince your soul to stop fighting here, because you're losing battle. Well, go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll end right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I said that twice, didn't I? Yeah. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is why it's important. This is not something we're inventing. This is what the Spirit of God told the Apostle Paul to do. And he said it for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. He says here in verse number 13. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You got to talk it out. If you're not convinced of it, you won't say it. And when you say it, the first person you're convincing, the first element is convinced, is your soul. That's where your battle is. You know that. Mm-hmm. And you got to convince your soul, yes, it will come to pass. Mm-hmm. That is the right password. Amen. I know it is. Why? Because the word of God just told me. What? I know I'm healed. I don't matter. It doesn't matter what my soul says. Well, you know, you just don't get your hopes too high. That's the soul of man.
Yes.
That's the soul of man. Well, no, you don't want to, you know, with too much confidence in that. Why not? I'm confident of this one thing. I know this. I am saved to the uttermost. I know according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, he ever liveth to make intercession for me.
Yes, yes.
I know that.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus himself is praying for me.
Yes.
How can I lose? You got the head of the church praying for you.
Yes.
You better accept it. I said you better stop letting your head drive you nuts. Stop letting your soul dictate to you how you feel. Tell your soul how you feel.
Yes, amen.
I'm telling you right now, you don't get on top of it with your tongue, you're not mixing with faith.
Mm.
If you won't say it, you either don't believe it.
Jesus.
If you believe it, you better say it.
Jesus. Yeah.
And when you do, guess what? All of a sudden, there's a refreshing in your spirit.
Yeah.
I'm convinced and persuaded of this one thing. I am the healed of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I stand in that. And by so doing, guess what? You reach out and you grab what God has said belongs to you. You invoke the benefits and you pray the promises. And you know that you have them because what? You believe what you said and you said it because the word of God told you. Can you say amen there?
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, I thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus once again. There's a simplicity to faith, simplicity to prayer, thanksgiving, praise. And we just make it so difficult. Religion.